Amen. We thank God that Jesus conquered the grave. Amen.
Amen.
Gives us the strength, the confidence to be here now, because if he didn't, then honestly, we would be wasting our time. Amen.
Amen.
We might as well be at home getting ready to watch the game or something. Amen. But he conquered the grave.
Yes.
We come to celebrate him first. Amen. Because without God, nothing else really matters. And apart from him, we can do nothing. So just lift those hands. Lord, speak to us now through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way in a dark world, God. And the world seems to get darker and darker each day, God. But thank you for the light of your saints. Thank you for the light of your word. Thank you for the light that shines in the heart of your people that gives us hope because of you. Oh, we thank you so much and we bless you on today, Lord. Speak to us now through your word. We need to hear from you like never before, Lord. We're making decisions. We're in the middle. We're caught between a rock and a hard place, God. We're all over the place and we need to hear from you. So our prayer now, speak to our hearts through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles with me. Let's finish up where we were. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And you don't have to stand for the reading of the word. I'll just go over it quickly. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen?
Amen.
So as we're starting off the new year, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. Last week, we talked about being soldiers for Christ. And enduring hardship based on 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we got into the whole armor of God, which says, verse 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles or the schemes of the devil. So we talked about the spider web, amen? You guys remember the spider web analogy, amen? Otherwise, I'm going to say it again. You do remember that?
Yes.
All right, all right. And the little fawn, it's always out by itself. I think this year, and I thank God for you all being here, but understand this in January and let it resonate throughout the whole year. But this is not the year to miss church. You don't want to be that fawn getting picked off this year. Whether it's here or somewhere else, you need to be in church every week getting fed and getting strengthened in the word of God. Amen. This is not the year just to be out there. Amen. Share that with someone you love and just say, hey, look, I don't know what's going on in your life, but this is not the year not to be in church. Share that with them. Amen. So we talked about being aware of the schemes of the enemy and putting on the whole armor of God. And I'm asking my military guys to Danny and Clarence, how often would you have to clean your weapons and inspect your weapons?
That was a daily thing.
Daily.
Every time you use it.
Okay. So you should be prepared and it should be inspected every day. So when God tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that's why it says put it on daily.
Even hourly.
Hourly, sometimes even hourly, depending on how intense the battle was. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So remember, you're not wrestling against people. How did your week go? Just think about that. Did you get into it with someone and then you caught yourself saying, I'm not even tripping on it? How was your week? Or did you get caught up in people again? And personalities and idiosyncrasies and all that kind of stuff? As they say in the neighborhood, you set tripping with someone. Remember, you have to rise above. Remember, you have to be up here. Otherwise, people will get you distracted all the time. You can't get into it on a fleshly level. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand to be firm, that you can handle the evil day. And we talked about the evil day. It was the malicious day. It was the mischievous, the bad, the degenerate, the clamorous, the diseased, the derelict, the wicked day. God help us. And without the whole armor of God, we're just going to be picked apart. So you got to take the whole armor of God. You got to inspect your weapons daily, sometimes even hourly, depending on how intense the battle is. That could be on your job. Sometimes it could be in your house. It could be with your family. But you got to inspect your weapons. Make sure you're not getting into a fleshly battle. Because you're not going to win that. Not in the spirit. God won't be glorified if you beat somebody up and you cuss somebody out. Dave, where's Dave at? Dave, is my mic on? Okay, God's not going to be glorified if you beat somebody up, you throw a punch, you cuss somebody out.
Amen.
It's not giving God the glory. Don't get into the fleshly battle. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girded up with truth. So underline truth. We talked about it last week. One of our first spiritual weapon that he talked about is truth. You're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to be honest. You can never live a victorious life if you can't live in the truth of God. You cannot be victorious spiritually if you cannot be honest, if you cannot tell the truth. And so God is saying having truth in your hidden parts, your inward parts, the places that no one else sees but you and God. God is saying be truthful, be honest in there. So that's number one, truth. That's your first weapon. Inspect that daily. Am I living in truth? Am I lying to myself? And am I saying I'm going to get it together with no intentions of ever getting it together? I got to be truthful. Otherwise, I can't go anywhere. If I'm not honest with myself, how can I be honest with God? Because God already knows that I'm lying. So it starts with truth in your inward parts. And the thing about the spiritual weapons, it's a defense, but it's an offense. By going on offense, you're telling the truth. The truth can stand up against a lie any day of the week. And when you're standing in truth, you're on defense because nothing can penetrate the truth. All these spiritual weapons can be used offensively and defensively. It's a beautiful thing. And it starts off with you living in truth. And then the next one says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, living right. The breastplate, we talked about it, covered this part, which means it covers your heart. Be right in your heart. Be right in your heart. Your heart being the seat of your passions, your affections, your courage, your intentions, your motives, your heart. Be right in your heart. Wow. What can you do without your heart being in the right place? What type of relationship will you have with God without your heart being in the right place? What type of relationship will you have with your spouse with your heart not being in the right place? What type of relationship will you have with your kids, with your family, if your heart's not even in the right place? These are spiritual weapons, folks. We gotta live right. We gotta tell the truth right off. God say, first of all, before we get into anything else, live right and tell the truth. If you're gonna serve me, you gotta live right and tell the truth. You can't do that. We can't go any further because you're gonna get defeated every trip of the train. You'll be fighting people every day of your life, and your fight is not with people. It's with spiritual wickedness in high places. And you'll never rise above it if you can't tell the truth and if you can't be right in your heart. Oh, God's trying to grow us up this year, family.
Yes.
We're at South Bay Abundant Life, we just don't come here to play church. We come here to grow. We come here to learn. We're praying. We're fasting. We're trying to be right with God. That's just how we're going to do it. Otherwise, we're not going to do it. I refuse to be your pastor and play church. I refuse to do that. I'm not going to do it. You got the wrong guy. The wrong guy. I got to tell the truth. When we leave here, I want us to all live victoriously. God's given us the formula. It's up to us to apply it. I don't want you ever to say, well, you know what? That church didn't work. No, you didn't work the formula that God gave you through his word. God is telling us to be truthful and have a right heart. And if you don't want to do that, then you don't do it. But don't say it's the church doesn't work. Don't say God doesn't work, because he does. Because times will get tough and you got to be able to stand on the truth and stand on being right. And the other spiritual weapons that he's going to tell us to put on every day. And this is not just a one day thing. This is every day. It's practice. That's why you soldiers go to boot camp. Because you got to be fit. You got to be ready. Because war could break out any time. You have to be prepared daily. It's not just, okay, I'm going to learn this and forget it. No, you have to apply this. I don't want to be in battle with a soldier who's out of shape, who's not ready. You need to watch my back. I need to watch your back. You can't fall asleep on me. We both will get dead in. Now look at verse 15. And it says, and your feet shod, or your feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wow. So God is saying wherever, and the feet shod and covered like with shoes or with sandals, that you, when you walk, when you go somewhere, you're prepared with the gospel of peace. That means you come in peace. You're not all angry. You're not upset. You're not bitter. I don't care what type of hand life has dealt you. I can't be bitter about it. I still have to be a peacemaker. That's what makes you a blessing when you come, because you come in peace. That's why your family wants to see you, not because you're browbeating them or you're putting them down, you're judging them, you're making them feel less than. No, because you come in peace, because you are a peacemaker. And what's the gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace? This is a word that God has given us the opportunity to have peace with him. And that's the best news I've heard in a long time. Amen. That the God who created heaven and earth wants to have peace with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to be your God. And he wants you to be his son or daughter. Wow. Hey, man, how you doing? I'm doing good, because you know what? Because God has set it up that I have peace with him. People going to think you crazy. Next time someone asks you how you doing, let them know. Well, you know, I'm doing really well, because you know what? I have peace with God. Did you know God set it up to have peace with him?
Yeah.
Woo. Well, all right. I'm out. But that's it. That the God who created everything says we're at peace now because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's good news. Think about this. What are we trying to do? Okay, I want to buy a house. I want to buy a car. I want to have a career. I want to make a lot of money. But what's the point if you don't have peace with God? What's the point of having anything without having peace with God? And if you can't have peace with your God, I submit to you. If you don't have peace with God, I know you don't even have peace with yourself. You don't. You wrestling with yourself. Why? Because there's no peace there. And it's no peace with God, it's no peace here. So that's why I said that. But that's a defense and that's an offense. That's a weapon, by having peace with God. You know why? Because nothing can rattle you. Man can't rattle you. Woman can't rattle you. Stuff can't rattle you. You know why? Because I got peace with God. You get that phone call, you get that text message, you go, whoa, man, that's crazy. Hold up. Let me put you on hold a minute. Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know about this one, God, but I know you got it worked out. Give me direction. Give me strength. Show me how to deal with it. See, I got peace with God. I'm not rattled.
Amen.
And I know we got some big games going on today, and that's cool, but that's how you huddle up. That's why teams huddle up. You huddle up with God. It's just you and God. Hey, God, we need to call a huddle. Call an audible on this one, God, because we might need a different play for this one. This is pretty deep. Amen. Got peace with God. I ain't tripping. I mean, really. Not tripping on anything. That's why I said you got to have peace with God, because we're going to deal with some stuff, family. I wish I could tell you that we're not going to have to, but then I would be lying to you. We have to do. And that's your feet. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. I think John mentioned that. We were having fun Wednesday night at Bible study, and he asked me, how did my feet look? My feet look good. I was having fun with that on Wednesday night. But that's what the word says. So we got three weapons. So understand this. We got truth. We got living right, and you got to be a peacemaker. You shouldn't be the angriest one on your job. You shouldn't be the one no one wants to talk to because your attitude is jacked up. I might go up again. You should not be the one no one wants to deal. Oh, you got to deal. Oh, all right. I'm a people praying for others who got to come deal with you. That's not a peacemaker. But when you have peace as an offense and a defensive weapon, it's a beautiful thing. It's the definition of peace in the Greek. It's quietness, it's rest, it's security, it's safety, peace between individuals, and of the Messiah's peace, the peace that Jesus gives. And remember, the good news is that we have peace with God. Next one, verse 16. Whoa, it says above all. Woo-hoo, underline that. It says above all. So that means we got to park here for a minute. We're driving the car, but we got to pull on. We got to park. Sometimes we just put on the flashing hazard lights, right? We got to park here for a minute. Out of all the spiritual weapons, above all, taking the shield of faith, underline the shield of faith. Above all, you got to take the shield of faith. We know that faith, offensive and defensive weapon, a shield, you can block, you can throw it, you can hit somebody in the head with that shield. It's offense and it's defense. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you may be able to quench, underline quench, which means to extinguish all, underline all, the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh my God. She didn't say you would stop or prevent, because those darts are coming. And they're not just darts, Sister Tara. They're fiery darts of the wicked, which means they got some heat behind them. But faith allows you to extinguish, which quench means to extinguish, to put them out. So when that dart comes, the dart of doubt, which tells you not going to make it. When they find out who you really are, they go, really, you're not, it's never. See, that's the fiery dart. And you have to say, you know what? Through God, all things are possible. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've been young, I've been old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. I'm going to be all right. Amen. But that fiery dart of doubt, discouragement, distrust, They're going to come at you. They're going to come at you. It didn't say the shield of faith would stop or prevent. It means it'll put them out. I don't know if you've ever thrown darts before, but those darts, they come quick. And they come unexpectedly sometimes. So you might not see the darts coming. And they're fiery, so they're going to hurt a little bit. But the word of God is going to extinguish them. Going to put them out. They're going to come. Family, we got to deal with some stuff. The darts are going to come. But you're going to be able to put them out. Because above all, you have the shield of faith. So darts, sometimes they come in the form of a depression and dissatisfaction and discontent, even disasters. Death of a friend, death of a family member. How about death of a dream? How about death of a relationship? How about death of a business or a promise? That's a fiery dart. But you have to have faith in God that it's going to be all right. So what does faith mean? In the Greek, it means assurance, belief, fidelity, which means the reliability, the credibility of Christ. Faith is the character of one who can be relied on. Oh, and we know that to be Jesus Christ. We need faith because of all the negative people we're going to deal with in our lifetime. You need faith to deal with the stuff someone told you when you were in second grade, and they told you you're not smart enough, you're not going to be nothing, your daddy ain't nothing, your mama wasn't nothing, your whole family ain't nothing, and you ain't going to be nothing. Yeah. And you need to know that, need faith, know that's a lie. Amen. That God knitted me together when I was in the womb. Yeah. And God's thoughts towards me are precious, more than the sand. That's a lie. I stand on the word. The fiery dart can sometimes be your memory of the stuff that we had to go through. Oh, so now you're a Christian. You serving God now. Do you remember when? Do you remember what? Might even try and tell, remember what you did last night, what you was thinking last night, what you was watching last night? That's a fiery dart. You got to quench that with the word. That's why I said above all. He said, we're going to deal with a lot, but above all, you better have faith in God. You better have the assurance of belief that you have Jesus Christ and you're going to be all right. Because that's what his word says. And if you can't believe that, then you're in trouble. You will never live victoriously. Because we can never do it in and of ourselves. It's only because of God that we live, we move, we have our being. It's only because of Jesus Christ. And you got to have faith. You got to have the assurance that that's true. That this word is true. That in the beginning, God created everything. Because people are going to tell you God doesn't exist. And we came from animals. Yeah. And you got, you know, it was in the news yesterday, this guy who's starting his own religion. Yeah. Some guy, you know, all the rappers know him and everybody. He's in, what's Kanye West, Kanye Pepper, whatever. Kanye Pepper, whatever his, whatever his name is. I don't know. I can't get the name right. Started his own religion. Yeah, where you create whatever you want to create. And you better have faith to know when that stuff is coming towards you. That, no. In the beginning, God created the heavens. I didn't create nothing. I created a mess. That's what I created. You don't want me to create anything. You need to have faith to quench those darts. People who might be talking about on your job or somewhere, and then what are you going to say? You need the assurance that when you open your mouth that God is true, that God is really true. That his word is true. So above all, we said we're going to park here for a minute, right? All right. So let's turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. there is no way that we will live a victorious life if we can't believe it. When you're there, say amen. Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance, the realization. Faith is the realization of things hoped for when things finally come to fruition that you hope for. Whoa. I mean, we all used faith this morning when we got in the car, we took the train or the bus, whatever we did. When I turned ignition, I didn't say it might come on. I knew it was going to come on. There's been times when I had a car, like, I hope it start. I didn't have much faith in that car, I tell you that. But this one, I think it should start. So we just take it for granted. Say, I can't believe in stuff I don't see. But yes, you do. You do it every day. Amen. We have faith that we're going to take the next breath and we don't see the oxygen molecules in the air. I have faith that you are thinking about something, but I don't see your thoughts going across the room. I hope you are thinking right now. Yes, I do believe in stuff I don't see. I believe you're thinking. I believe we're breathing.
Right. Amen.
Say, Mr. Pastor, I don't believe in stuff I can't see. Well, we want you to go jump off that second story and see if you fly. Because you're not going to see gravity, but gravity's going to pull you right on your head. I don't believe in gravity. Okay, go jump. It doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It's what's true. And God's word is true. Whether you believe in gravity or not, I guarantee you. And I want you to jump head first. Be so sure that you don't believe in stuff you don't see. Okay, jump head first. You will have a headache if you survive. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, look at number 3, make sure you underline this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything you see was spoken into existence before it was ever seen. By faith, everything that you do, the clothes we wear, the seats, somebody saw it and created it before it was ever created. And that's how God created the world. Before it was ever created, he saw it and said, let there be. And there was. Says everything that we see came from something that wasn't seen. Ha! I love that. Everything we see came from something that was never seen. Look at verse 6. Go to verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me read that again. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot please God if you're not sure, if you don't believe. That's just the way it is. God says you have to trust me. In 2014, God is telling someone in here, you have to trust me. There's a lot going on in your life. But this day and age, I need you to trust me, is what God is saying. I need you to trust me like never before. I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. That's in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. It says, for make a note of it, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. God says you cannot keep walking by the stuff that you see and how you feel. You have to walk according to what you know. In 2014, you have to walk according to what you know. It just can't be about what you see. Because if we walk by sight, trust me, it does not look good. I would say about 90% of the time, oh, it don't look good. But God said, you got to trust me. Somebody's telling this morning, you like never before. Whether that's rededicating your life or getting saved or joining the church, God is saying, you got to trust me this year. Let me read verse 6, because it said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just haphazardly, half-heartedly, but you have to diligently seek God. And that word seek in the Greek is investigate God. God said, you got to investigate me this year like never before. You really got to look into me like never before. Hey, think about it. We go out and what do we buy that we really have? A TV, a new car, a laptop, a tablet. We go and you line 10 of them up to see which one is the best one. You go through the blue book and everything, looking at that car. What's the specs? What's this and that? And with God, I don't need to open the word. I don't need to pray today. I don't feel like it. Go to church, maybe. Wow, we investigate everything else but God. And then we say, God doesn't work. Then we get upset with God. Wow. Lord, let this year be different. Lord, let this year be different. Look at the end of Hebrews 10 and 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10 and 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So God is saying, you got to go all out. But if you start and then God said, I'm disappointed in that. He didn't say he's going to cast you out. You're going to lose your salvation. He just said, I'm just disappointed that you would start and then you would leave. That you would get so close to your breakthrough in God and then go, I'm tired. I'm tired of waiting on God to work. God said, you were right here. And it was right there. And God said, oh, man, you were so close. And then you try and figure out, why do I go through the same stuff all the time? Because God said, you got to investigate me this year. You got to go all out. You can't go halfway and then come back. You can't halfway go to the gym. Either you're working out or you're not. You got to go all the way. You can't say the gym doesn't work after 2 weeks. Went to the gym for 2 weeks to look at me. It don't even work. I'm done with that. That's what God is saying. God said, you've been treating me like a gym workout. It has to be a lifestyle. You have to eat right. You got to work out. It has to be a lifestyle. And then you see the results over time. God is the same way. You stay close. You stay close. You diligently seek him. And then you look back at your life and go, man, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm sure not where I used to be. And I thank God for where I'm going. 2014, you have to be consistent. This is not the time not to come to church. You got to find you a good church. It's teaching the word that's building you up every day. And I'm just saying, as a pastor, it's too much going on. Look at 11 and 22. And so now we get to what they call the heroes of faith and the hall of faith. In the world, we have the hall of fame, but in the Bible, it's called the hall of faith. Those who overcame just because they knew God was going to do it. Amen. You and I, we want our name mentioned in the roll of the hall of faith, that I just stood with God regardless and watched God work in my life every day of my life. Just going to highlight a few and we'll come back to some next week. But 22 says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Yeah, let's turn to that 50:24. Let me just show you. This is faith, right? Let's see it in action. Genesis 50:24. Thank you. Pastor's getting excited. I told you I have ADD when it comes to the word. I'm all over the place. Lambert said, hey, pastor, I'm going to be working the scriptures. Where are you going to be at? I don't know. Hey, you're an A and B student. Figure it out. Just roll with me, brother. That's a Genesis 50 and 24. So here's Joseph, and just a little background on Joseph. He was 17 years old when he received the dream that he was going to be king of Egypt. And his brothers hated on him and sold him into slavery and lied and said that he had died, got slain by some wild animal or something. 17, but I believe he was actually 30 when the dream came to fruition. It was 13 years. And he was in prison for, was it 2 years? Thank you, Dr. LaRose. She got the honorary doctorate in the house. All right. So Joseph is in jail. Here you are. You have a dream that you're going to be the king of Egypt. Now you're sitting in jail for something you didn't do. Happy New Year. But his faith said, you know what? God told me, God showed me, I'm sticking with God. 13 years later, he's the king. And now he's on his deathbed and he's dying. In verse 24, 50:24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm dying. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto this land which he sware to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, look, I'm dying. Okay, I'm not going to get there with you, but God's going to visit you. Now he's speaking through faith. That's why above all you need faith, knowing that God's going to do it. God's going to give some promises to your kids after you and I are gone, to our kids. And he says, God's going to bring you out of this land, which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath. He's saying, but you got to promise me. All you children of Israel, promise me, saying, God's going to visit you and you should carry up my bones from this place. When God takes you to the promised land, you bring my bones, my casket with you. You got to promise me that. Now, that's crazy. That's crazy. We need that crazy kind of faith. In 2014, you need that. What God has told you, what he has showed you. So how do you know that? Because you need to be praying and fasting for a revelation from God. So you'll know what he's told and what he showed you. Verse 26. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. At 110 years old. Turn with me to Joshua 24:32. Joshua 24:32. You there say amen.
Amen.
They were crazy enough to bring his bones. In verse 32, and the bones of Joseph, when the children of Israel brought, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried them in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. He's dying saying, look, God showed me that he's going to take us to the promised land. Promise me that you're going to take my bones with you. Don't bury me here. Don't leave me here. Take me to the place that God promised. And we see in Joshua, the children of Israel, they did it. Now go back to Hebrews. Let's finish up with this for today. Hebrews 22. That's what makes Joseph the hero of faith. He's in the hall of faith. Because above all, he understood that we needed faith in God. Even if I'm not here, God, I believe your promises on my family. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Whoa, that's why he's there. Look at verse 25, and this is where we are today. Well, let's do 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, here we are today, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, which means we might not have everything that the world has, but I choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Family, let's not get caught up in 2014 enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Please don't let any picture that the devil attracts. Please don't let any picture that the devil paint attract you. Because if sin is pleasurable for our young folks, our youngsters in the crowd. We're not going to lie and say, if you go out and do some stuff, you're not going to enjoy it. Yeah, you will, but it's just for a season. It could cost you your life. It could cost you your freedom, cost you your health. We can't lie. We're in church. We're keeping it 100. Said truth in our inward parts. Yeah, it's going to be some stuff out there that feels good, that looks good, that tastes good, that smells good. But the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. It will kill you. It will steal everything that God has for you, and it will destroy you. Made Moses a hero of faith because he said, I'm not going to deal with that. I trust God. It's a tough word, family. What are we going to say today? Are we going to say I'm going to do my own thing, or I'm going to stick with God? Said above all, out of all the spiritual weapons, and we're just halfway through the above all. We got to have faith in God. We got to have that assurance that God's working it out. And we'll get to the second half next week. Let's bow our heads. Wow, Lord, you're growing us up. You're telling us that we need to be closer to you. We need to connect with you. We need to investigate you this year like never before. Above all, we need to believe you. So, God, that's it. Above all, we need to believe. We need to trust you. Saying otherwise, you're not going to make it because the fiery darts are coming your way this week, today, this afternoon, when you leave here. And faith will quench them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things are possible to them that believe. I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. God will never leave me or forsake me. God has a purpose and plan for my life. I believe it. That's going to help quench the fiery darts when they come of doubt and depression and doom and discouragement and haters and homies in the hood. All the stuff that comes against the word of God. Yes. Family, we got to have faith that God's going to work it out. My prayer for everyone in this room, including myself, is that we hold on to God like never before. Yes. 2014 will not be a regular year. It'll be a year that we're going to hold on to God like never before. We're going to attend church. We're going to read. We're going to pray. We're going to fast like never before. And I pray right now, Lord, it might be someone here who say, Pastor, well, my first step of faith is accepting Christ. Yes, yes. Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I want to get saved. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe I need to be saved. God's tugging on my heart to get saved. If that's you, elevate your hand. I want to pray for you right now. You've never been saved. You've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. How about you want to rededicate your life? You say, Pastor, I've been out there enjoying the pleasures of sin, and I just know that it's going to run out. It's not healthy. It's not going to end well. I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life, elevate your hand. I want to start serving God. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, as you were speaking, God put it on my heart that I do need a church home. I need somewhere to be rooted and grounded where people love God. They love me. They love to worship. They love the word. And if you think that South Bay Abundant Life Church might be the place, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your church family. If you're looking for a church home, you want to rededicate your life or get saved. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you, Lord. We know that your word, that it doesn't return void, but it accomplished all that you sent it out to do, Lord. God, grow us up. Challenge us, Lord. Change, convict us to live for you, to be sold out, to be convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way but through you. We thank you, Lord. Make us peacemakers. Make us a blessing when we come and not when we go, because we come with peace. Lord, I pray that we operate in truth and that we're living right. Those are offensive and defensive weapons, Lord. Give us the opportunity, which I know you will, to use them this week. Oh, we thank you. What a great day it is. A great day to know God. A great day to be filled with the Spirit of God and to feel the presence of God with his saints. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, we pray as only you can do. Go before us and go with us. Keep us, Lord. Protect us. Cover us and guide and direct us. Thank you for this great day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and we are dismissed.